Well, we do have a special treat this morning. We're going to hear from three moms, from Luann and Paulette and Pat Rittenberg. I asked them to share with us what have you learned about God by being a mother, or what has God taught you in life through being a mom, or anything else they wanted to say. Okay, so it's fairly broad, and they might be saying, why did you ask me to do this on Mother's Day? It's their special day, and maybe it raised their stress a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to hearing from them, and I think they'll have a blessing for us. So we're going to begin with Luann. I told them we're going from the least experienced to the most experienced, so you'll hear from Luann first.
Well, good morning. That's a really positive way, positive spin on it. I think the perks of being the pastor's wife is you get to go first. I said, I'll go first and get this over with, hon, okay? But we can put a real positive spin on it. Least experience, most experience. I think that's a good way to do it. So, sorry, Paulette and Pat. Anyways, yes, I've been thinking a little bit as Phil asked me to do that, thinking about risk-taking, adventure. Do you consider yourself an adventurer or a risk-taker? I'm seeing some people shaking their head no. You know, I kind of agree with you. I usually don't see myself in that department either, but I've been thinking about what do adventure, risk-taking, and motherhood have in common. So we'll talk about that for a couple minutes. As all of you know, that on April 25th, there was an earthquake in Nepal, which was a devastating earthquake, and it triggered an avalanche on Mount Everest. And this avalanche came down and hit the base camp, and at least 19 people died. One of those individuals was a man named Dan Friedenberg. He's age 33. He's a Google executive, or was. One of his friends had said to him, he was one of life's lucky people, a charismatic, outspoken, social media-obsessed Google executive who was pretty much always where he liked to be, at the center of attention. So he sounds like he lived a pretty full life. And he said of himself, Dan, sometime prior, of course, he says, I'm not a climber, I'm an adventurer. And I thought, well, so interesting to describe yourself as an adventurer. And kind of got to thinking about this adventurer type of spirit and adventure. And I looked it up in the dictionary. One of the definitions of adventure is engage in hazardous or exciting activity. I guess climbing Mount Everest would definitely fall into that category. And it goes on to say, especially the exploration of unknown territory. The exploration of unknown territory. That's an adventurer. And the one thing that I think is rather interesting about this Dan Friedenberg is that he was on Mount Everest last year in 2014 when an avalanche came down and killed 16 other people. But he was above the avalanche that time, and so he kind of escaped. To me, it's kind of like dodging a bullet. So I'm thinking you dodge the bullet once, maybe you should just play it safe, sit in your easy chair at home, and just enjoy the good life. But apparently he was an adventurer, and that was not his take on things. So it's just kind of interesting to me that he was out there living life to the full, for sure. But this whole idea of being an adventurer, exploring unknown territory, and I thought, what does that have to do with motherhood? And lately, I've been starting to think that parenting and motherhood is quite an adventure. It's exploring out into the unknown. When you think about it, when you start on this whole journey of motherhood, you really don't know what you're going to get, do you? You don't know how it's going to turn out. It's an adventure. It's a journey. And it's risky business to some extent. I think it's risky business because once you embark upon this journey of motherhood, your heart is fully invested. And when your heart is fully invested, just like that song said this morning, that when your children hurt, you hurt. So I just want to encourage you, if you're a mother this morning, to reframe your thinking about yourself and to consider yourself a risk taker or an adventurer, because you never know what you're going to get. Think about at the beginning. I mean, as you're pregnant, you don't even know whether you're going to get a boy or a girl, right? And that's just the beginning. You don't know whether they're going to be compliant or strong-willed. And that's just the beginning. You don't know whether they're going to be outgoing or reserved. There's just so many unknowns. And the list goes on and on and on. If I open it up to you, anybody have any thoughts about what, you know, something you don't know what you're going to get? Call them out when you embark upon this whole thing of parenting or motherhood. Anybody have any thoughts? Pardon me? True. Don't know whether they're going to be completely healthy or there's going to be some health challenges along the way. Very good. Anybody else?
Grandchildren.
Don't know whether you're going to have grandchildren or not. Good point.
Commitment.
Yes. Very good. You're going to be committed. And that's what we're going to talk about, how mothers, they invest their heart and that they love unconditionally. And I think that's how they emulate Father God's heart. We love unconditionally. I guess I've been thinking about this quite a bit lately because I am working at the jail, Niagara County Jail, which most of you know these days, at least 24 hours a week, 3 days a week. I hear so many stories. And I realize I must be getting old because more than often than not, I think to myself, your poor mother. What must your mother have gone through? When I hear these stories, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't want to be the mother. There's an inmate I met with recently. He's sharing about how he thinks he's not looking at a lot of time, kind of short term, which is a really good thing. But he talks about how he's got a brother who's serving 40 years in prison. And I thought to myself, your poor mother. I said, do a lot of encouraging people to make better choices, do different things. That's a lot of what I do as a mental health counselor, encourage them with whatever they're struggling with. And he's like, yeah, I need to do better for my mother's sake. I'm like, that would really be a good idea for your mother's sake, also for your sake. So I appreciate his perspective that he was thinking about his mother. One son in prison is enough. So also was thinking, I heard another story about one of the nurses at the jail was telling this story about how she has this 19-year-old son who recently moved out of the house, apparently on his own free will. And then after a while, I guess he wanted to get supported, so he wanted child support. He took her to court, and he won. I'm like, we were all incredulous. You won child support at age 19. I'm like, you just don't see that coming when you have children, It's like, who would think? And so it just highlighted to me the perils that sometimes can come with this whole adventure or journey called motherhood. But the thing that's interesting is that regardless of what happens, mothers love unconditionally. And these mothers love unconditionally. And they walk through the struggle we walk through our struggles with our children. And I think that's what God does with us. He loves us unconditionally. And he walks through whatever struggles, what comes our way. He loves us. God took a risk on us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the idea is God took a risk on us. He didn't know for sure who was going to respond to his free gift of salvation, but he offers freely and he loves us. And the other thought that occurs to me, even when I think about parenting and life in general, and even that earthquake in Nepal, is that even the people that thought they were playing it safe, they weren't really doing anything risky here. A lot of other people died in that earthquake. And they didn't even think they were living life on the edge. They weren't risk takers. And it just helps me to see that life happens sometimes. That rain pours on the just and the unjust, as Scripture says. And so even when we can play it really safe, or think we're playing it safe, sometimes life has its challenges. I think about some of the people in this congregation that I just admire so much, like the Schlabachs who walked through difficulty with Rachel and the Millers with Jacob. And I'm just like, you just never really know exactly what you're going to get when you start on this whole motherhood parenting thing. But we love unconditionally, as they did, walk through the difficulties with their children, and are faithful. So God loves us unconditionally in spite of our struggles, and he walks with us, and we do the same with our children. The bottom line is a mother's heart hurts when their children hurt. And that's why I think it's such risky business and such an adventure. And it kind of makes me wonder, does God's heart hurt when we hurt? Are mothers like God in that respect? And I believe that God's heart does hurt when we hurt. Jesus, to demonstrate that in John 11, when he encountered Mary and Martha, who were very sad, weeping about Lazarus' death, Jesus wept. That's what it says. Jesus was touched by their pain. Scripture says, Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It also says that in Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I think God is touched by our human suffering, just as we're touched by the struggles of our children. And of course, there's obstacles and challenges in parenting, but of course, there's tremendous joy. I feel so incredibly blessed to have my children. They bring much joy into my life. I feel like it's like the greatest adventure, this parenting thing, or motherhood thing. It's like it brings the greatest challenges, but it also brings the greatest joy. And so that's why it's worth the adventure. It's worth the journey. It's worth the risk. So, yes, I was thinking recently, I'm dealing with this empty nest thing, which is a little challenging for me because I really like my kids a lot and feel like they're a tremendous blessing to me, which is just such a blessing in and of itself. And one day I came home from the jail and Phil and I are sitting there eating dinner and it's so quiet in our house. I'm like, why is it always so quiet here? I never knew that I liked activity and noise until everybody leaves. And so I just had this like, ugh, I miss my kids, you know. So I said to Phil, I'm just going to call one of them. I think that'll make me feel better. He's like, okay, fine, call one of them. But before I called, lo and behold, I was just about ready to get up, get the phone. Joelle calls me. And she's like, Mom, just call in the chat. I said, that was such a gift to me that day. I'm like, I just love being a mother and having kids that care. And so there are so many joys that come with motherhood. But I'm also struck with there's so many, sometimes there's obstacles and sometimes there's pain. And I believe that God is close to us when we're hurting as mothers, just as he's close to anybody that's hurting. So whatever you're going through this morning, whether it's just experiencing the tremendous joy of motherhood, which there's no doubt there's that, or some of the pain or disappointment of a hurt that's hurting, a heart that's hurting based on what's going on with your children, just encourage you to bring it to Jesus. Trust him. Trust God that he has a good plan for yourself and for your children, and that whatever's going on, it's not finished yet. And so you're on a great adventure, this journey called parenthood or motherhood. And I just encourage you to look for how God's going to work and enjoy the ride.
Morning. I take a deep breath. Agree with everything Luann said. That's great. Well, I've been a mother for 42 years, and besides being the hardest job, I think, on this earth, I think it is the most rewarding. No matter if your children are all grown up, and they're married, and they're raising their own children, you still are their moms. You still, like has already been said, you hurt when they hurt, you rejoice when they rejoice. You are concerned about different things that's going on in their lives. You just love them, and you walk with them still, no matter how old they are. I found three verses this week. Pastor Phil asked me to do this last Sunday, and I said, really? That's not much time for me. But Lois isn't in here today, but she prayed with me that the Lord would help me find something to share. And the Lord gave me these three verses. The first two verses I've drawn on all my life as a mother. And then a new one. I know I've read it before, but the Lord gave me a brand new verse that I can kind of claim as a mother this week. And that was exciting to me. So the very first verse that I've used over and over again is James 1:5. And I'm going to stick the word mom in there. But it's good for men. It's good for women who aren't moms. Works for everybody. James 1:5. If any of you moms lack wisdom, let her ask of God, who gives to all moms generously and without reproach, and it will be given to her. Now, I had to look up that word reproach again. It means disappointment or disapproval. God does not look on us with disapproval when we come for the 10th time that day asking for wisdom. He wants us to come, and he gives us wisdom generously. What does he give us wisdom about? I just sat down in about 2 minutes. I came up with 12 things, and I know you can think of a lot more. Discipline your children. Toilet training your children. Temper tantrums. Presents, birthday and Christmas presents. Friendships, bedtime. Asking for forgiveness. Curfews, allowances, chores. Health issues, sibling rivalry. There's so much every day a mother needs to ask wisdom for. And there's a God right there available to each of us. And I don't know what I'd do as a mom without my God helping me. And he doesn't... Okay, I already said that. Forget that one. The verses before that verse, 2 through 4, James 1, 2 through 4, talks about the trials. Consider it all joy, mothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And just to condense that, trials bring endurance and maturity. And I think we all need that, and that's what our trials are for. So, number one, I need God's support as a mom. I wouldn't be able to do it without his support. But I also need other people's support. I'm so thankful for my husband, especially when my kids were little. It was like he walked in the door and I handed him the kids. Now I can make supper. I don't have two kids hanging on my legs and another one crying about something. And he was willing to play with them, so I could get supper on the table. He just loved his children, and I'm very thankful for his support. Thankful for the support of my own parents and Don's parents. They were there. They were willing to babysit for us. They were willing to take my kids, help me in any way they could. And then I'm very thankful for our church support here. I remember as a young mom, sewing circle was a big thing back then. We had a lot of ladies that came to sewing circle. And just to name a few, Catherine Baer, Becky Bontrager, Rita Schmidt, Edna Schlabach, Fran Helmuth, Levina Mast, Aurelia Beachy, Emma Miller. I'd sit around a quilt with these women, and the wisdom that I just drank in, and there was adult conversation, and my kids were off playing. I just loved it. I needed that. And it was wonderful. And then as my kids got a little bit older, I remember Rachel coming home from school one day. She was very concerned about one of her friends. She said, "Mom, my friend's parents are arguing, they're fighting, they're talking about getting a divorce. Would you and Dad invite him over?" So we did. We invited him over. Can't remember whether it was for a meal or just for an evening. And we had a nice talk with them, but I said, Don and I said, "Would you be interested in just coming to our home once a week, and we could talk with you and pray with you and help you through this journey?" And they were willing to do that. And so I asked some of my friends to help and come along with us, and we formed a small group in our home, and I am sorry to say that their relationship did not work out. They did come for a while. I guess they considered it too hard to work on. They just gave up. But we realized that the small group that we had in our home was so important for us as parents. And so we continued. And I think we had that small group for 5-10 years. It was many years in our home. And that really helped me as my children were growing up as a mom. So I'm thankful for all the support that I was able to get from other people. I think the greatest joy of a mother is to see each of her children ask Jesus into their heart and decide to walk after him. asked to be baptized, they want to follow Jesus, just like Don and I decided to follow Jesus. There's just no price you can put on that. There's nothing. No greater joy as a mom. And then it kind of takes the load off mom's shoulders. They can go to God for wisdom. They can go to God for direction. They can go to God for whatever they need. So mom doesn't have to be asking for it for them. And that's, to me, that's amazing. My favorite story, and you might have heard this story before. It's a mom story. When David was about 8 or 9 years old, I think Danny was about 11 or 12, they found me in the kitchen, and they said, "Mom, would you sit down? We need to talk to you." And I thought, oh boy, what's going on? So they sat me down at the table, and they said, "We've been raising 5 or 6 flying squirrels in Danny's closet. They're getting a little big, and they won't stay in the box, and we thought we better tell you before you see them flying down the stairs or something." I said, "What in the world? How long have you had them in Danny's closet?" They were in there about, what was it, 2 weeks? I don't know. 2 weeks. Now that tells something about me as a mom. They'd come down, round the clock, I guess. They found an eyedropper someplace. Come down, get some milk out of the refrigerator, warm it in the microwave, take it up and feed these little baby squirrels. And they thrived on cow's milk. But they were getting a little big for their cage, and so they had to confess. Well, somebody gave me the name of Eve Furtick, and it just so happens she passed away this spring, and they had a memorial service this past week. She was the animal rehabilitation person in Alden for years and years. So somebody gave me her number, so I called her up, and I told her what my boys had done. And can I bring these squirrels to you? I don't know what to do with them. She said, oh, no. She said, it sounds like your boys have done a wonderful job. Just take them in the box, take them back to where they found them, let them loose. Sounds like they're fine. So that's what we did. I have no idea whether they survived or not, but I was glad to hear that. The next verse that I leaned on during my motherhood and continue to is, moms, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's become a little dearer to me in the past 3 years when one of my kids packed up his family and moved to Kenya, Africa. This summer, it'll be 3 years that he's a missionary in Kenya, and they've had 2 major terrorist attacks in that small country. One right in the major town of Nairobi, where they shop a couple times a month, and one in a college where 147 people were killed. They had a mudslide go right down next to their school, knock out part of the fence around the school. Some people were killed in the village, and homes destroyed. They had a fire that was set in the international part of the airport. They said it was intentionally set. That's where Danny flies in and out of. And God tells me, and I have to keep reminding myself, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. I'm not stopping praying for him. I'm not going to stop asking for his protection. But in the same sentence, I'm going to thank the Lord that he is taking care of Danny and his family. And I'm also going to thank him for what he's doing in him and through him there in Kenya. And then the verse that the Lord gave you this week. And I'm going to stick mom in there again. But remember, it's for everybody. It's from Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the mom who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For she will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And I thought it was so neat because in that one verse was those other two verses that I mentioned first. And so God just kind of tied it all together. And so as long as I trust in the Lord as mom, I don't have to fear the heat, the trials that come, and I don't have to be anxious when things aren't going quite the way they could be. Because he is in control, and I want to make him Lord, and I want all the moms here to make him Lord. And I think of the young moms with little children here, and I pray for them often. Because that was the hardest time for me as a mom, when they were young. Well, I guess each time is different, you know, each stage is different. So I don't want to say that was the hardest, but it just seems like I know what they're going through. I just wanted to, the walls were closing in, I just wanted to get out. And I was waiting for the day when school started. A lot of these moms, they homeschool 24/7. I said, when is your personal time alone to do what you want? And so I pray for them often. I have two daughters that do that too. So God bless you, moms. It's a privilege to be a mom. Thank you.
How would you like to follow that? Well, believe me, I'm much shorter. I wanted to say that I grew up, and my husband grew up, knowing about God, but not knowing him personally. So when I came into marriage, I didn't really know God. I didn't know how to talk to him. I didn't know you could. And after the loss of our son, we became the search of what was life all about. And when we found Jesus, everything changed in our life. But by this time, I had a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So things had been going along a different route. And my mother was a screamer and a cupboard banger. I mean, she slammed a door so hard you would wonder why it was still on its hinges, but that's the way she was. I found out as I grew up and became a mother, I realized a lot of that was hormonal, but as a child, you don't know that. And you never quite knew where you stood with my mother. And when I became a mom, I did not want to be like my mother. I wanted to be different. I wanted to be calm and like a mom should be, as far as I was concerned. Well, by the time I was searching for God, all of a sudden I got into a situation, I don't even remember what it was about, but I started to do what my mother did. And it scared me so. I was screaming at my kids, and I didn't do that. And that was another encouragement to find Jesus. Find life. What was life about? Can't be more than what I was doing. Well, when I found the Lord, and of course, there's a lot goes on in the beginning. And one of the things I failed to discipline my children. It was very hard to discipline. To me, it was hard to spank them and to be consistent. It seemed like I never knew quite what to do. This is before I knew the Lord. And my oldest daughter, she was a baby, and she would bite everybody that we came in contact with, children. And she would bite them, and I didn't know how to handle that. And so I would ask everybody, my mother, my grandparents, my friends, sister-in-laws, anybody, how did you handle this? And they gave me all different kinds of advice, and I tried that advice, but nothing worked. Well, it eventually changed. I never knew when or why, but it did change. So when I was knew the Lord, and here I'm trying to discipline my children, and I didn't really know how to do it, and I just kind of slacked off, and you know, you turn your head the other way, it'll stop, it'll go away. Well, it doesn't go away. And the Lord convicted me, and I mean convicted me. Proverbs, I have it written down. 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Well, believe me, that went into my heart, and I was determined I was going to discipline him. So I was on a search on how to do this, and I don't know how it all happened, but how the Lord showed me what to do was when it wasn't when they just when a child disobeys you, goes against what you said, not you know, silly little things by getting dirty and stuff like that, but I mean when they out and out say rebel against what you say. And I would take them into the bedroom and spank them and then hold them and ask them, do they know why I spanked them, and to get through that part, and then to pray with them. And I did that with each one of them individually. But I had a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old. Now, you know when a person first comes to the Lord, they are very exuberant. And I was trying to do a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old and spank them. And they were running away from me and underneath the beds and everything else. So I finally learned, you know, it's a little different when they're older. You can't discipline them the same way. But anyway, that was a biggest thing in my life to me was to discipline them and to be consistent. And I, just because Pastor asked me to do this, I've gone to them and asked them. Now my older daughter, she said, she remembers me chasing her around the room, and she didn't quite know what was going on. And but the younger ones all remember it, and they remembered that I did how I did it and everything. And I think they follow through in their own families, which just proved that, you know, when you become a parent, you are going to do things the way you were raised, unless God is in there, unless you call on Him. You don't have any other recourse, really. So, as they got to be teenagers, things got, you know, really difficult. As maybe some teenagers aren't such a problem. I don't know, but we were having problems with our older ones. And I had been asked to share at an AGLOW meeting, and the scripture that the Lord gave me was 2 Kings 4:21, and it's a strange story. It's about Elisha, who is traveling around and stays at different places, and this woman who had no children. She asked her husband to build a little room on the house so that when Elisha came into the area, he would have a place to stay. And so they did that, and Elisha would come. And so Elisha says to the woman, what can I do for you? And his servant said, she has no children. So Elisha says, next year when I come back, you will have a child. And the woman said, don't tell me that unless it's really going to be true, in my words. So she has a child, and the child is out with his father, and he gets a severe headache, and they bring him back to the house, and he dies. And they lay him on Elisha's bed. Well, the woman, She's a Shunammite woman, is what it's described. Travels on the, and the husband asks her, why are you going to see Elisha? And he said, she says, it is well. That's all. Because she doesn't reveal what it's about. But so she goes to see Elisha. And Elisha, I'm going to shorten this, comes back to the house. And he lays on top of the boy, and the boy comes back to life. And what God showed me in that, it sounds strange, but to stop talking about all the difficulties you're having with your teenagers. Don't tell everybody about it. Tell him and another confidant, somebody that you can share with, but stop telling all the world about your problems with your kids. Because I was just tearing them down instead of building them up. And that was powerful to me. I don't know if it sounds powerful, but it was very powerful to me. I think the hardest thing being a parent, being a mother, is to be consistent with whatever you have set up. Somebody told me one time, don't make so many no's, but stay to a strict amount and adhere to that. And so that's what I tried to do. And the fact that God was always available, just like Paul had said about wisdom, you just cry out to God all the time, what do I do now? You have somebody you can go to. Before, I had nobody to go to. I didn't know who to go to. I didn't really like my mother's opinion, so I didn't go to her, which is what you kind of would do normally. But God is always available, and you can always call upon him. Our responsibility is to parent them. How our kids turn out is not our responsibility. We do our part, and they have to do their part. And we all have choices. That's the hardest thing, is to realize that they still have a choice no matter what. You pray and pray and pray. You can't pray enough, really, for your children and for wisdom and guidance and direction. And just like Paulette said, no matter how old they are, they're your child. And I know that that's a Father God. You have his heart. You're not God, but you have his heart. I just encourage everybody who has children, keep on doing what God shows you. Amen.
Thank you, Pat and Paulette and Lou Ann. Each of you bring us a unique perspective out of your experience with your family and with God. And so thank you for sharing this morning. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to lead us in a closing song. But I do want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you're hurting in some way, or you just want to come before the Lord, that you can do that this morning. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, you can come up here on this side at the altar. Or if you just want to come before the Lord, you can do that here. Know that when you hurt, God hurts with you. Whether you're a mom here who's hurting with your children, or you're hurting in any other way, God hurts with you. You can bring to him whatever your needs are, whatever they are. You can ask God for wisdom. He calls on you to not be anxious, but to bring your needs before him with thanksgiving. As we heard from Pat this morning, things change. With God in your life, with Jesus in your life, things change. It's different. We have someone to go to. And so if God is not in your life, if you have not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you also to come up this morning and talk to me about making him Lord and Savior. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. He walks with us in every experience of life. So please stand and worship together. Come to the front if you'd like to this morning.